Suppose I was to offer you more choices in the ways you can approach a particularly awkward work or social challenge, and that by so doing you could generate less conflict and more success. Oh, and by the way, you might even be able to influence other people more effectively. And on top of that, suppose I was to say, would you like more insight in what's going on in the minds of others and how this can actually affect their behavior? Or alternatively, would you want a deeper understanding of how you and other people act in particular ways when you're under stress? And just for good measure, would you like some tools to help you engage in better decision making? Well, if the answer was yes to any of those, then I think you're going to be interested in really what's going on in the world of applied neuroscience, because there's an amazing amount of research that has now come out and which we can apply if we start thinking practically. Because, I mean, it's pretty obvious, really. This would figure, wouldn't it? So much of what we do is influenced by how our brain works. So, given that your brain is the driving force behind every single thought, memory, emotion, and behavior that you've had or ever will have, it's not surprising that it would be kind of a smart move to have a basic understanding of how you can work with your brain. And also, by the way, to make sure you're not actually working against it. Now, that really was the background, I suppose, to how Professor Patricia Riddle and myself came to start thinking, well, how can we put this together in a practical, usable fashion so that people can begin to action what's, in a sense, been stuck in the research lab for too long? And so when you start thinking about, well, are there key areas that it would be useful for pretty much anybody to have a grasp of? The answer is yes, as far as we're concerned. And so one of these has to be your brain and your emotions, you know, just having some understanding of the link between, for instance, our emotion and what motivates us and how to use this more effectively, both for ourselves and with other people. You know, whether it's personal or professional, whether it's individual or with a team, that's going to make a huge difference. If we understand how do you have an impact here at the level of, well, what impacts the way your brain works and the way other people's brains work? So, for instance, ever had the question about, do you stick with what you have or do you think it's time to move on? And how do you decide? Well, that's the kind of question which some of the work that's now available coming out of applied neuroscience is really useful in helping us be better able to address. And similarly, not only what motivates you, but what demotivates you. That tells us a lot about what's going on in your brain, and it's useful to know what is going on in your brain. Might also be useful to know about how this impacts other people's brains, especially if you're working with them and you're a team leader, let's say. But suppose also you could learn how to discriminate a wider range of emotional responses and expressions. You see, a lot of people don't even pick up on the cues that are there in front of them or that they're experiencing internally because they just don't make adequate distinctions. Again, now what we've got is a way of doing this, courtesy of neuroscience, which is really on the cutting edge and extremely useful. And in the same way, if you could become more flexible in the way you emotionally respond and don't just have, you know, the same old few responses, you'll almost certainly be able to have more choice in your life. And this is true not just for you, but of course it would also be true if you're a parent for your kids. So to us that seemed like a very obvious area, and that's why we turned that into a workshop, 2 days worth. Now, second area that seems really significant to us is being able to use your brain to promote learning and memory. So, you know, most people are not even aware that there are different types of memory, and until you understand that, you don't know which to use when. So, not only are there different types of memory, of course, there are different types of learning. So, understanding if how to use both of those has an enormous impact on your ability to maximize potential, either of yourself or of other people, because you're going to be able to learn quickly and to maintain the learning if you work with your brain. So, learning how to stop forgetting things, would that be useful? For most people, it seems the answer is yes. And not only not forgetting, but learning how to create lifelong learning for other people, that's just as significant. And this all comes down to understanding, how did your brain work? You don't have to be a big neuroscientist. There are some basic elements here, which, as I'm not a neuroscientist, I can tell you, have been extremely useful in finding out about. So being able to apply these tools in the real world seems to me to be of great value, as is, of course, if you have kids, knowing how to help them. So guess what? There's a whole nother area, and there's a whole nother workshop. In the same way, we started thinking about, well, how would you want to use your brain to promote creativity and insight? Because that's critical to successful innovation in anybody's life, be it in their working life or just in the way they live. So that really gave rise to a third workshop, which was something we wanted to put together to focus on how everybody has, you know, moments of insight where they have an idea or a solution comes to a person out of the blue, as it seems. But the real question is, what is it that happens in your brain during those moments? And how could you create that type of original thinking when you need it most? It's like, could you do that at will? Well, actually, the answer is yes, if you understand what's going on. So what state does your brain need to be in to give you the best chance of achieving that? Again, there are answers, and it's ridiculous that these aren't more widely known. So, of course, that becomes part of our third workshop. And ideally, what we want to give people is the chance to learn about, yes, the different kinds of creativity, so that you know what you need, in what sort you need, in which context. And when you learn about the different kinds of creativity, you'll also, I think, get very clear about your particular strengths and how to play to those. And very often people don't know that. And of course, it's very confidence building when you do. So learning how to promote creativity in yourself is actually something which also makes it possible to promote in other people. Talking about your confidence growing, guess what? Other people's confidence will grow as they begin to find that they can perform more effectively. So that's got huge implications if you're ever in a leadership role. Now, in the same way, again, a key area when we were talking about, you know, what could make the maximum impact in terms of improving people's lives was, well, how could neuroscience help and improve people's decision-making and their planning abilities? Because these are fundamental to, you know, having an effective life, essentially. So suppose you could, first of all, determine what are the different ways of making decisions. Did you know that there are three primary decision-making systems in your brain, and each of them's evolved to do something different for you? So it'd be kind of useful if you knew which system works best for which kind of issues, and also each of them potentially can trip you up if you use them when it's not the most appropriate style. So there's, you know, there's some understanding here about how do I function, which is, it's not hard to learn. But being able then to identify strengths and weaknesses in yourself, and of course, potentially in others as well, because, you know, put it in a team context, it might be kind of useful if you could identify which members of your team are best at making which type of decision. And that could also impact the kind of people you want to recruit. So you'd know how to recruit different types of decision makers. Now, another part of this, actually, because whenever we make decisions, we're filtering, is about learning how bias and stereotypes can impact decisions. And everybody has bias. It's okay. It doesn't mean you're prejudiced. It just means we filter for some things rather than others. But getting the tools to protect yourself against unconscious bias and poor decision making, that's going to have a huge impact on how effective you can be and what you then become able to avoid. It's almost like being able to inoculate yourself. You know, so guess what? There's another workshop. And finally, when we were thinking about how could, you know, we offer the sort of greatest hits, if you like, of neuroscience right now, and what can it bring to bear for everybody, it seemed to us that it's really important that people know how neuroscience can help you deal with stress and build your own resilience. Because people have, you know, increasingly stressful lives and often don't understand that stress in itself is neither good nor bad. There are both kinds, actually, and being able to distinguish between good stress, bad stress, and what makes each either good or bad for particular people, that's something which enables us to get a much better handle on what's going on and how we can be back in charge. So to that end, we of course put together the tools and the ways of understanding that will give you a kind of diagnostic sophistication so you know what's going on in yourself and indeed with others. And in the same way, there are a whole bunch of practical tools which can increase your resilience and help you operate better in those stressful situations. Now, to me, that's been an incredibly interesting journey working with Professor Riddle about how do we bring these worlds together. And I think, you know, these are real benefits. And certainly when we ran the program where we brought all of this together last year, we got this astonishing feedback where people they weren't just saying, oh, this is very interesting or even this is great. There was a lot of expression of gratitude, actually, because people, I think, felt as though they were getting access to privileged information, which is not easily available. And in a way, I think that's true. So this has been a very rewarding journey, and I think it's just beginning. So I'm really looking forward to this, our annual event, as it now is, when, you know, in a few days' time, we'll be once more starting the journey of the Certificate on Applied Neuroscience, because everything I've just described is what we want to cover during the modules of the program. And of course, if, you know, if that's of interest to you, well, who knows, we may be in the same room at the same time very shortly. But either way, hopefully this gives you a little bit of a taste of where the world is going, I think, and where scientific research can offer practical possibilities when it's put into this practical context of, now, that's the research. How do we apply it? What are the tools? And as you know, my particular obsession is with the practical applications of what's been found out. So if you're interested in applying this in your own life, then I guess we may be meeting up. Either way, I'm going to be having a very good time. So till the next time.